Chapter 26, Domes and Self-Expansion. Our first need was for water. I didn't want a repetition of the story of the city of Satepur Sikri near Agra, India, constructed before anyone checked to see whether water was available. There wasn't any, and the city had to be abandoned. Herb Radel, a local water diviner from Nevada City, was recommended to me. He found a stream underneath the property and correctly estimated how much water it would supply. Soon we had a well and a water tower. Our next need was for buildings. In 1961 in India, for what came to be known deprecatingly in SRF as my, quote, Delhi project, I'd meditated and sought inspiration for the best shape for a temple. A building's shape, I felt, exerts a subtle influence on people's minds. Square or rectangular buildings, which nowadays are still the norm, seemed to me to box in thought and inspiration. Flat ceilings seemed to press down on the head and oppose expansion of the spirit. The energy emitted from the human head, round as it is on the top, seemed reflected unevenly from the usual ceiling. Rounded ceilings, which correspond to the shape of the head, seemed to reflect energy back harmoniously. Pyramidal shapes, considered from the standpoint of energy, draw the mind upward and help to give it focus, increasing its power. Years later, I was fascinated to learn that razor blades retain their sharpness longer if they are kept in pyramidal containers. Much information has come out more recently on the energizing influence of pyramids. When I visited Egypt and meditated in the pyramids, I vividly sensed their spiritual power. It seemed to me, however, that for meditation the ideal form is the dome. I'd seen domed cathedrals, but always those domes were high up, as if to suggest heaven, not the sky of our earth. Their very loftiness implied a future beatitude and peace, far removed from the sweat and strain of earth life. A dome would be ideal, I thought, if it came down on all sides, like the sky, to eye level. In San Francisco, years after my Delhi project, I visited the Morrison Planetarium in Golden Gate Park. While waiting for the show to begin, I was happily enjoying the peaceful atmosphere when suddenly a group of about 30 school children rushed in and arranged themselves in the seats all around me, squirming and giggling. I was entertaining thoughts of moving when I noticed that the children, one by one, stopped squirming and were becoming silent. It seemed to me, indeed, that the shape of the dome was inducing their stillness. I was glad to remain where I was. As a further comment on the influence of the shapes of buildings, during my months in Arizona, a friend recommended a book to me by Joseph Epes Brown, which described the philosophy and worldview of the Sioux Indians. I was amazed to see how closely their view corresponded to the cosmic vision of the ancient seers of India. I was struck also by the emphasis placed by the Sioux on living in harmony with the world around them. This emphasis stood in marked contrast to their reputedly warlike nature. Yet, in fact, by defending their land against foreign invasion, they were acting in accordance with teachings in the Indian scriptures also. The Bhagavad Gita says it is righteous to fight in self-defense.